That was Sky Diggers live at Massey Hall with A Penny More.
That's a beautiful song,
said Doug in his booming voice.
Yeah, and we already talked about the lyrics, and you mentioned that they were scathing, and then we went down a rabbit hole about whether they were scathing or not. So I invite any listener who hears that song to weigh in about whether they are scathing or whether they are promising.
Well, fuck that song for now. we have a bigger problem at hand. There is zero information about us. Here we are. We're kicking ass doing this show. We are rocking forth with magic wonder. I'm sure at least one person's listened to it, and we're not, like, there's nothing about us on the Indie Rocks site.
Well, whose fault is that, and why aren't they doing their job?
I don't know. Veronica Veal is on there with The Unknown Road. And then my friend Dan Greer's on there, Postman Dan. Dan, I love you, but you're boring.
Oh.
Anyway, and, like, yeah, there's, yeah, and then there's somebody else, but there's nothing about us.
Well, why aren't notable people like you and I noted when we're doing such a damn fine job?
We are the headliners, and we are not, like, you know, we're not getting our due. We are the main event.
Huh. What do you think we have to do to up our game?
I don't know. I don't know, because, like, you know, it's like 9:19 in the morning. We're in our room screaming our heads off so the microphone will pick us up both. The deranged old lady upstairs is probably really, really unhappy about it. And we're just not. There's nothing about us. There's
Can we get her down here and, like, involve her in the show? I'm sure she would be like a, like Mr. Furley in Three's Company. We could get her in here to wring her hands and be concerned about things.
How cool would that be if Mr. Furley was our landlord?
It would be great.
Thank you. mama, 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 ain't that kindness? Baby, baby, ain't that a kindness? Woman, woman, ain't that a kindness? Somebody, somebody, tell me. Somebody, somebody, please. Somebody, somebody, somewhere.
Shot himself in the heart. He got a, like, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme. I remember you telling me about that, but then I was telling you about how I felt shot through the heart.
Okay, you know what? Oh,
I'm sorry.
Don't, just shut up.
Okay, and then we segued into Taj Mahal with that great song, Ain't That a Lot of Love?
That is a great song.
Yeah.
He said in his booming voice.
I'm trying to have a booming voice, but you see, like, I'm 5 foot one and a half, and Doug is 6 foot four and a half, for people that don't have the visual in their mind. So my little voice comes from this little place, and his
okay, can you do me a favor, please, right now?
Uh-huh.
Be interesting.
Oh, sure, okay. So did you watch Doctor Strangelove, the film? That's a classic.
I did. Peter Sellers plays like five roles.
Yeah, and he was having a problem finding the right voice for the main character, Doctor Strangelove.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's like you. He can imitate other people's voices just based on how they sound and what they look like and stuff.
I can't do that.
You do that all the time.
Don't tell everybody that.
Folks, if you know Doug, he's probably imitated you in your own voice and you don't even know it.
You're gonna get me in shit.
So anyway, he eventually based that kind of strangled sounding voice of the photographer Ouija, who Sellers had heard around the set. I'm sure he knew.
I didn't know that. That was Stanley Kubrick, one of his best movies, actually.
Yeah.
Wasn't it his first?
Oh, it's absolutely.
And don't tell people that I imitate their voices, because I remember one time I went down to friggin', there's this guy in Oshawa, he said, "Hey, Dougie, how you doing?" His name's Dino, right? And I used to do my impression around everybody, and they'd laugh, and then one day it's like, "Hey, Doug H., I hear you do a really good impression of me." I'm like, I don't know, I guess. And so, yeah, let's hear it. Why don't you do it? And this guy's like, he owns the Atria. He's like my boss. I book there. I do all this freaking stuff. And like, now I gotta do the impression. So I'm like, okay. "Hey, Doug H." And he's just kind of looking at... He's just kind of looking at me going, yeah, that really sounds like me, smiling at me through clenched teeth.
That was a good setup, though. You handled that really well.
Yeah, well, man, that was very uncomfortable. So I try not to, I don't like it when people are saying that I do impressions and then I'm forced to do the impression right in front of the person. That's just not comfortable at all.
I didn't mean to out you. I'm sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay, have we talked about anything important?
Yeah, sure, that was important to somebody. Here's another one. More black cats were adopted after Black Panther was released in 2017, I think. Black cats are said to have had a difficult time getting adopted, but after the release of that film, shelters released, like, they said that there's a great uptick in the amount of black cats that were adopted. Is this, like, racist or anti-racist? I'm not sure.
I was gonna try to avoid that. That was just too obvious, so I was gonna, you know... No, I don't believe so. I think black cats are precious. it's they're certainly better than that friggin' walking little pile of shit cat that we have.
Jerry.
Jerry is the most annoying fucking cat in the world.
Jerry's papered.
And yeah, well, that's great. He's like, so he's a papered fucking idiot who doesn't shut up.
He's purebred.
Oh, that's okay, great. That's like, you know, that's like the really hot annoying chick. Well, at least she's hot, but you're being annoyed into fucking
he's
oblivion.
Pedigreed.
Sound familiar? But anyway, fucking yeah. So I don't know what's going on here. So we're gonna play some more songs.
You brought him here.
And well, you know what? It was just like, it wasn't supposed, he was supposed to drive you crazy, not me crazy.
cigarettes and carrot juice, and get yourself a new tattoo for those sleeveless days of June. I'm sitting on the cafe Zeno steps with a book I haven't started yet, watching all the world go by. And could I take you out? I'll be yours without a doubt on that Big Dipper. If the sound of this, it frightens you, we could play it real cool and act somewhat indifferent. And hey June, why'd you have to come? Why'd you have to come around so soon? I wasn't ready for all this nature. The terrible green, green grass and violent blooms of flower dresses and afternoons that make me sleepy. But we could wait a while before we push that dull turnstile into the passage. With thousands they have tread and others sometimes fled before the turn came. Could wait our lives before chance arrived, before the passage. From atop, you can see Monterey or think about San Jose, though I know it's not that pleasant. Jim, or Kerouac, or brother of the famous Jack, or so he likes to say, lucky bastard. He's sitting on the cafe, the center steps, with a girl I'm not over yet, watching all the world go by. Boy, you're looking bad. Did I make you feel that sad? I'm honestly flattered. But if she asks me out, I'll be hers without a doubt on that Big Dipper. Cigarettes and carrot juice, and get yourself a new tattoo for the sleeveless days of June. I'm sitting on the cafe Zeno steps. I haven't got the courage yet. I haven't got the courage yet. I haven't got the courage yet.
Oh, that's a great song. I really love that one. You've played that for me, the studio version, before, but the live one just kicks ass, doesn't it?
And before that, you heard Pigs, 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 Pigs with Big Rig.
That's a lot of pigs.
I knew you were going to say, I knew that was exactly what was going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I live with a low latent guy who just seems to know everything before it even happens. I guess we'd better go buy a lottery ticket. I've been looking at this website lately, and it's just all sorts of little scattered bits of information that are probably useless to anybody because I like that sort of thing. And this one caught my eye. The code in the Matrix is actually made up of sushi recipes.
What Matrix?
Like the movie, The Matrix. You know, The Matrix.
The code is wrapped up in what?
Yeah, it's actually made up of sushi recipes.
In the story, or just for some kind of aesthetic? What are we talking about here?
Well, it's possibly the aesthetic. I think it's the aesthetic, because you know how you see all the numbers on the big grid, and it's all in black and
white. Oh, right.
Yeah, so it says the production designer scanned the Japanese characters from his wife's cookbook and incorporated them into the iconic stream of code. So, who knew, right?
That's incredible. I hear of things like that all the time. Do you know anything else, like, you know, where you think something's something, or it's like something completely different?
What, that occurred to you that the Matrix might be sushi recipes?
No, but I mean, it's always interesting when you hear of other things that you know you didn't know how they did it. I can't think of an example right now, but that stuff does actually legitimately fascinate me.
I thought that was interesting, and this web page is called Cracked, which led me to think about those magazines I used to read when I was young, Mad and Cracked. Do they even still publish?
I don't know. It would be sad if they didn't.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. Mad TV Mad came up with a show, Mad TV, that was very similar to like Saturday Night Live in living color. I'm not sure if it's going anymore, but I saw a few skits from that, and they were hysterical. So.
Oh, I never saw anything like that. I remember watching National Lampoon. Did they actually have? No, they had a magazine, just like Mad and Cracked. My mother was absolutely appalled. She threw it out.
Who's Lampoon?
National Lampoon.
Yeah.
It's, company? Lampoon is just a word to mean to make fun of something, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, to lampoon something. Like, you're lampooning me continually and constantly.
Mr. Low Layton just learned something.
It can be done. Archaeologists wear more fedoras because of Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's not typical archaeological, style, apparently.
Do they carry whips? That would be funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. I'd like to meet one.
I like the stories you always hear about somebody somebody like myself accidentally whipping themselves in the face with a whip because they don't know how to use a whip properly.
That's very dark.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, if they want to be like, you know, if they want to go all out, they might as well get like a brown leather jacket, the fedora, the whip, play theme music.
This reminds me of a certain co-musician that you know who really dresses the part but really doesn't. Do you know who I'm thinking
about? Are we talking about the drug dealer? Or are we talking about...
No, a drug dealer looks like a jester.
Yeah.
We don't have a drug dealer, folks.
He looks like a parade float.
Yeah, he does.
Gone horribly wrong.
I was thinking about that other individual who you... Yeah. Talk about sometimes. We won't talk about that on.
No, we are gonna. We are gonna talk about it. Are we talking about Mike?
No.
Are we talking about Alec?
No.
Are we talking about Steve Edwards?
No, the big guy with the black jacket and the thinning hair that he hides underneath.
The big guy. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. That guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I vowed. I've destroyed this guy's ego so bad that I have vowed to, like, you know, it got to the point where it wasn't funny, it was a little sad. So, yeah, it was hilarious at first, but, like, you know, it seems like everything's kind of where it should be now, so I'm kind of happy again, but yeah, I am not going to lambaste this human being further. It just wouldn't be nice.
That's good. And just to bring this conversation full circle, you had lampooned him forever.
all right, you know, you got to know him. You got to know me. You got to know the situation. You got to know reality. And it's just, yeah. But anyway.
You know, I bet everybody's just dying with curiosity out there in listener land.
And you know what? I'm not going to tell them. Not even in private. I am not going to tell you that I'm talking about, yeah. See, I almost said the name. All right, anyway, let's play some music.
Drive anyone wild, innocent like a child. I want to give you a nice behind. Why did you do the drugs? E-L-B-I-S.
Elvis, write to me. E-L-B-I-S.
Elvis, visit me. There we go. The king of rock and roll. You're 6 months old. You're a great, great happening guy. You don't even have to try. You don't have to put a hot dog. Here we go. Play a guitar. You're my big guitar. So when you sway your hips, all the girls want to kiss your lips. E-L-V-I-S, Elvis, write me. E-L-V-I-S, Elvis, sing to me. Too much pain could be exciting. Pretty soon you wish you were hiding from all the pressure, all the stress. Just like the rust, you like some ass. Don't be cruel. You always help your friends. Continuous until the end. Your mercy keeps getting better. It will live forever. E-L-V-I-S, Elvis, write to me. E-L-V-I-S, Elvis, listen to me. Elvis, sing to me. E-L-V-I-S, Elvis. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis Oliver has left the building.
Elvis, take it.
Nephew.
Yeah.
Your dad sent me, you over here to me.
Yeah.
Teach you about these songs.
Yeah.
About these ways. Now, I've been listening to you. There's something about you I don't like. I mean, your songs, how you sing. So I want to hear you again. You know that AIM song?
Yeah, I know.
All
that
right.
Yeah.
You know it?
Yeah, I know it.
Well, sing it. I want to hear you and see how you sing. You're singing it wrong. I don't know why you sing it that way. You sing it like this. Now you do it like that. What's wrong with you? You're not getting it. Look at me. You're not getting it, nephew. You gotta sing it like this, with passion. Like that. Can you do it like that? Like you're crying for the people. You do it. Yeah.
What a beautiful work of art that was. That was some original composition from our own Doug Hell. It's called Storm Warning.
Me, I'm Doug Hell.
Yeah. And he prefaced it with a wonderful skit. Who did that skit?
I don't know. That whole set started out with the Kids of Whitney High, one of my favorite bands. And it went into a skit by some, do we say Native American? Do we say Indigenous? I'm not sure what it is we're supposed to say.
No.
A couple of fucking Indians. And yeah, it's just a really, really, really funny skit. And then came Storm Warning, an original I wrote after Hack here commented that the drums sounded very tribal, and it sounded like a Storm Warning, a kind of a Native American Indigenous Indian kind of thing.
Yeah, or even Canadian Indigenous First Nation kind of thing, because you can do that without cultural misappropriation. You are part Blackfoot.
I am Blackfoot Native.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. If you didn't know that about Mr. Doug Hell, that's just another tidbit to stick in your ammo belt.
Tell us something cool.
What would it be in an ammo belt? A cool thing about that is that you gave that to somebody for their show, didn't you?
That is not the kind of cool I was talking about. You've been on your handy-dandy phone looking at cool little stories and tidbits.
Okay. Taxi Driver. Let's talk about Taxi Driver, the film from 1976. Did you watch it?
You talking to me?
Yeah. You talking to me?
Listen, exactly. You fucker, you screwhead. Here's a man who would not take it anymore.
Did you know that that line was improvised?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, totally improvised.
I actually haven't seen that movie.
Is this your big fact?
Well, it was interesting. Taxi Driver was written in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by Paul Schrader. He was going through marriage problems, lost his job, was broke, suffered from a bleeding ulcer, and his depression from all of this at the same time drove him to write about Travis Bickle, or I was just going to start to become him.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating because it's like, he plays a psychopath, but he's not necessarily a bad psychopath. He just has absolutely, it's something you have to see. He has no, like, he likes this girl, and to impress her, he takes her to a porno movie, not realizing how offensive it would be, and she's freaking out. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know much about movies, I just know that this is what people do and blah blah. It's incredible. You gotta see it.
I was actually just reading about that part. It's played by Cybill Shepherd, and I love Cybill Shepherd, and he takes her to the first date, he takes her to a porno film, and she just doesn't get it, and he says, I thought that's what people did on a first date. They went to see a porno film. He sounds pretty detached from reality at this point. It's sort of a spiraling madness, isn't it?
It's magic. It's something you really gotta see.
Yeah, well,
maybe we can watch it later. Oh my god!
Come on!
Or something else.
Okay, Wallace Shawn, who played in The Princess Bride. Do you remember Wallace Shawn's part in The Princess Bride?
Marriage is what brings us together.
Or is that the other guy?
No, that's Peter Cook.
Okay.
We're talking about Inconceivable.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, so anyway, he was really inconceivably worried throughout his whole acting role in that movie. Do you know why?
No, I do not.
Because his agent decided to tell him that he only got the role of Vizzini because Danny DeVito was unavailable, and that got into his head, and he feared that he was going to be fired whenever he did a bad take.
Aww.
I know, and he does appear to be really rattled and anxious through the whole thing, doesn't he?
He does. It really comes across well, and I don't know, man. I think he nailed that role.
Yeah, well, who knew that it was because he had, like, the sword of Damocles hanging over his head by a thread.
But you know what, though? Like, how do you cast somebody for that? Like, how do you put out the, we're looking for some goofy-looking bastard. And you know, oh, that's me! I could totally do this role!
I can think of so many people who would fit that role, too.
Oh, no kidding.
Isn't that right?
Imagine Billy Oldschool. That's the inconceivable guy.
That's inconceivable. Inconceivable. I tell you that fucking bullshit.
Oh my god. Yeah, I can see him, but it would really lend a different flavor to the whole role of Vizzini. Vizzini. That's right. I love that movie. I've seen it so many times, I'm surprised I can't even pronounce that character's name. Anyway, another fact. Sigourney Weaver actually made that basketball shot in Alien Resurrection. That's what would you call an iconic basketball shot where she just sinks it?
I haven't seen it.
Well, I haven't seen it either, but I was reading about
stop doing news and stuff on things you haven't even seen.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and you know why?
Because you're a poser?
Well, no, not because I like interesting facts. And you know what? I had to look it up. She's actually 5'11", so it's not surprising. And she wasn't a basketball player, from what I can glean. She just did that, like, kind of by nature.
Time to play some more music.
Demons they asked us. Praise the Lord, I don't belong. The Holy Ghost will cry and I'll hum along. I'm tired, it's now or never. I know this pain inside won't last forever. I'm a warrior, ordained by God. We're hiders from reality. Denial is our responsibility. We are one true. We are stolen souls. Praise the Lord, we don't belong. The Holy Ghost will cry and I'll sing along. Praise the Lord, I don't belong. Devil's in the details, but I've moved on.
This is Liquid Fire Radio, home of indie rocks, and I keep forgetting to say that, but make no mistake, this is Liquid Fire Radio, home of indie rocks. And, you know, for the record, I was just clowning earlier when I was talking about how Dan is boring. Dan's not boring. Dan is like he's a rock master. You should see this guy perform live, him and his brother. The Do Good Badlies, they're a very loud, very loose kind of whiskey soap rock and roll band. And I think we're going to go out on them.
What a great band name. I love it.
The Do Good Badlies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it used to be the DGB, right? And it was Daniel Greer Band. And then he felt that was a little, I don't know, what's the word? Totalitarian?
Yeah, a little too, what'd you call it?
Megalomaniacal.
Megalomaniacal. Perhaps, or just a little bit not really standing out there. I wouldn't remember that. But I would remember the Do Good Badlies. That sticks.
Yes, it does. So, thank you for listening to the Hell and High Water Show. We will see you next week at, what time are we usually doing this at? Out of time.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd like to say in summation, Hack?
Nope.
I'm really dying to hit the record button, and I want you to hit it halfway through you saying something.
Just do it.
So I want to make sure you are completely, completely friggin' done.
Ishkabibble.
Okay, so we're done. Have a good one, everybody.
We'll be right back. chore.